Yes and no. I must say that the Houthis attacked the Saudi strategic interests, such as the airports and oil facilities, almost on a daily basis. Still, this is the first time that we see an attack against the key oil facilities of Saudi Arabia. And according to the Saudis, the attack have disrupted about half of the kingdom's oil capacity. And we have to remember, if Washington is right and the attack was conducted by Iran itself directly, so it's the first time that Iran is not using its Yemenite proxy, but directly attacks the Saudis. It's not a war of proxies, but it can lead the region to another serious crisis of a war, direct war between Saudi Arabia and Iran.
This would be a significant escalation, wouldn't it?
Right. For years, Iran supported the Houthis. The Houthis are the Ansar Allah militia. They are backed by the IRGC, Quds Force, headed by Qasem Soleimani. They are financed by Iran, trained, armed by Iran. And in the recent months, we saw that Iran publicly admits that it's arming and supporting the Houthis. Actually, a few hours after the attack, the Iranian TV in Arabic Al-Ahli network described the Houthis as a fundamental component of the Iran-led resistance axis. It added that the coordination between the components of the axis is being held as the highest operational levels. Khamenei himself has reinforced the Houthis' importance in Iranian strategy. In the last August, he welcomed a high-level Houthi delegation for his first time in Tehran. At the gathering, the Houthis actually pledged alliance to Khamenei, describing him and his rule as a stem of the path of the Prophet Muhammad and as the rule of the Shiite Imam Ali. And actually, a few hours before the attack, there was an interesting interview of the IRGC Air Force commander, Ali Halijizadeh, in which he admitted for the first time that Tehran assists the Ansar Allah, the Houthis of Yemen, on the same manner that it assists Hamas, Hezbollah, and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. In this very significant interview, he said, according to the Islamic teachings, we must help Muslims around the world. If in Palestine, in Lebanon, in Syria, or in Yemen, they are being attacked by enemies that are supported by the U.S. or Europe, it is our duty to support them to the best of our abilities and to stand with resistance. We definitely assist the Palestinians, we definitely assist the Lebanese, and we definitely assist the Yemenites. We support them and stand with the resistance fronts at all the costs. We defend the oppressed people, and now we have become a coalition. Today we are all a coalition standing by to each other. We're definitely interrelated. So I think that Iran is publicly admitting that it can attack the Saudis wherever Soleimani wants, and it can be a further boost for its deterrent power against Riyadh.
At the same time, though, this attack came rather strangely. Very shortly after John Bolton was fired by President Trump,
right.
And there were rumors of a rapprochement between Tehran and Washington, maybe even of a summit meeting between Trump and Rouhani. What can we glean from the fact that, despite all this, Iran carried out this audacious attack on America's most important ally in the Arab world?
Yes, I must tell you that you must consider the internal factionalism inside the political arena of Iran. The Khamenei and the IRGC don't want a meeting between Rouhani and Trump, whereas Rouhani and Zarif are keen to meet with Trump because they think that this is the key to improve the economic conditions in Iran. But Khamenei most probably didn't permit Rouhani to meet with Trump because the extremely steep price for such a meeting, I mean, helping the U.S. sanctions, was refused by Trump. So it is a very confusing factionalism map in Iran. But eventually you see that they are like a family, that there is a quarrel between inside the family, between the different, the various factions, but eventually they want to promote the same target of promoting the Islamic revolution. And this is Trump, who wants to meet with Iran, and now Khamenei refused this request. So Rouhani is actually not the decision maker in Tehran. We must remember that.
Final question. How is it that Saudi Arabia, that has spent billions and billions on its military over the last few decades, is unable to defeat this relatively primitive, healthy Shiite militias in Yemen?
No one can actually gain a victory in Yemen without a ground maneuver, a serious ground maneuver inside the Yemenite soil. And you have to remember the very problematic topographic map of Yemen. So as long as the Saudis don't want to get in Yemen through the ground arena, but only from the air, it cannot gain a victory. And this is how Tehran is arming the Houthis and giving them much more precise missiles, sophisticated missiles, so they can target so much targets in Saudi Arabia, all facilities, airports in the south, even in Riyadh. And I think that eventually the Saudis won't have any other option. If they want to actually gain a victory in Yemen, they must go inside through the ground battle. It will cost many soldiers of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates that will be killed, but I don't predict any other option.